Welcome to Sustain Your Vitality, the podcast that gives you a nurturing kick in the ass so you can take action every day to feel better, not older. Your lifestyle holds the power to change how you feel, and no matter your age or health issues, you are in the driver's seat. I'm your host, Zoe Connor, and I am a PhD level physicist, a well-being lifestyle alchemist, a travel strategist, and a retreat leader. Zen and Vitality with Zoe is my functional wellness studio. Join me for an intentional vitality retreat, for a whole new way to use travel to support your well-being. I'm here to help you figure out how to lower your stress, increase your energy, put yourself into a healing state, boost your drive and pleasure in life, prevent disease, and feel the best you ever have in your whole life with no regrets later. Let's go. I am delighted to have Sasha Davis here with me, and I want you to know a little bit about her before we get into our conversations about retreats. Sasha, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Sasha Davis. I live on a ranch in Southern Oregon. I have four kiddos, a bunch of horses, dogs, cats, chickens, all the things, keeping me pretty busy. And I run a business that helps women scale their businesses, and I also offer retreats. So I was very intrigued to have this conversation with you today.
Yeah, it's great when we get to talk about retreats, but when we come at it from a different angle.
Yeah.
And the fun thing that I think is true about the two of us is that we both bring your overall well-being into our retreats, but you're coming at it not from a wellness perspective, but from a different perspective. So can you tell people about what your perspective is for retreats?
Yeah, absolutely. So the women that I work with are typically business owners, entrepreneurs, career-driven women, you know, and so they're goal typically is to make more money, make more profit, have more legacy, that type of mindset when they're coming into it, but they don't really know what's going to happen. They've never really stepped away from the responsibilities of their everyday life. So typically when somebody comes to one of my retreats, they've never left their kids, they've never left their business, they have trust issues leaving their animals with other people. And so there's this whole letting go experience that happens because they tend to be in control all the time. And so then they get to the retreats, and I typically do a digital detox. So that's part of it, because we're typically, you know, glued to our phones 24/7, and that's a whole thing in and of itself. But I give them a couple hours to say their goodbyes and their phones go away. And we focus on ourselves and what comes up when we really try to hit those next levels for ourselves. But simultaneously, I want to support them, mind, body, spirit, wellness. So we do things like guided meditations in the morning, slow movement yoga. We do horseback riding. I have somebody come in and cook organic meals. We do, honey, I'm on a phone call. Oh my gosh. Hang on 1 second.
All good.
I don't know if you want to edit that out or not, but he lost a tooth yesterday, so the tooth fairy came.
That's very, very exciting.
It is very exciting. So I didn't think he'd be up for like another hour, but
so good.
So anyways, a lot of the other wellness stuff is having them take a deep dive into what's potentially holding them back, and they end up releasing a lot during these retreats. And so I want to make sure that we're supporting that release. So having really great, great organic foods, having lots of different beverages that also support that. So it's not one of these retreats where it's like, you know, come and drink wine and champagne all the time, because that's not really going to support the nervous system as you're going through those things. So my retreats have a lot of wellness components within them to be able to support them through those big transitions, whether it's, you know, they come for the business, but they end up having a lot of personal shifts to get to that next level.
Yeah. So what kind of personal shifts do you find your women leave with?
The things that they come that come up the most are imposter syndrome, self-worth, like trauma from previous experiences with other mentors or other colleagues or previous businesses that didn't fail. And so they carry all these really heavy feelings. And so it's almost like they cannot get to that next level until they let go of these chains and these bricks and all of these things that are really like holding them down. And so that's one of the things that we try to work on is like, how can we release those things so that you can feel lifted into this new version of yourself? Because I give them the systems, the tools, the strategies, all of those things. But then typically the big thing that's blocking them is themselves. And that's what they tell me. They're like, it's me, it's this, it's that. So there's a lot of internal turmoil that comes up.
So, do you find that your women know that they are holding themselves back before they come to the retreat, or is that something that is exposed to them because they attended the retreat?
Both. So there's, I would say, majority of the women know that it's them, but they don't want to say it out loud because a lot of the women that I work with are very hyper independent. They don't like asking for help. And it's not that they don't like asking for help, but they've always had to rely on themselves. And so when they have asked for help, they've been let down. And so they feel like they can't be vulnerable because vulnerability in the past has proven that it has been a weakness. So they have this belief. They know that it's there, but they don't really want to voice it for fear of being judged or fear of being vulnerable. And so then when they come to the retreat, we crack that open and then they see that that's actually a really common theme amongst these women. And so in and of itself, that becomes healing.
And do you find that, well, so first of all, your retreats are always groups, or do you ever do them individually for like a private person?
No, I've thought about that. I know some folks that do, but all of my retreats are groups. So, anywhere from 8 to 12 women at a time.
Okay. And so then 8 to 12 women, how does that work in terms of the dynamics for the group, right? Because you've got people who consider themselves more introverted, those who are more social and more extroverted. How do you make sure that that group is going to work well together?
So I typically do phone calls. I call them retreat connection calls is what I do in order to make sure that like the group fits. And so if I have like a theme for a group or if I have kind of like a group forming, and I really want women to be at like a certain mindset or a certain level or a certain fit that certain theme. So it's really like an invite only type of thing. They fill out an application, we have a phone call, and then I want to make sure that that whole vibe of the group fits. I've been doing retreats since 2018, and knock on wood, I haven't had any issues yet. But also during those retreats, on the first day, I have kind of a social, like a social gathering. I have like these little question cards that people can, go around and sometimes people don't know what to ask each other. So I have like these deep dive question cards to get like things flowing. And then throughout the days, I have different pairings. And so I intentionally put people together and we have like walk and talks. So I'll say, hey, you two go together, you two go together, you two go together. You go on a half hour walk and talk. Here's your topic that I want you to discuss. And then you come back, find some commonality. And then in the evenings, we do a circle, and typically we have like a bonfire and stuff like that. And then we reflect on like what happened throughout the day. And one thing that I do with my gals at the retreat, and everybody who has left the retreat has felt more connected with each other than even if they knew each other briefly before the retreat, because I also do a pre-retreat connection call so people aren't walking into it blind. But I have them do this exercise at the end of the last night, where they all have to say something that they love about each other from the past few days. And everybody's like emotional and bawling and hugging. And I'm not a very emotional person, but man, it gets me every dang time, every dang time. And so it's so interesting to see these hyper independent, strong women like, I'm not letting my guard down. And then within like 2.5 days, their whole guard's down. They're hugging people. I mean, crying, sobbing, I love, like, this has been so wonderful. And a lot of them still remain friends years later.
And that is just a really fabulous thing to give someone who thinks that they have to do everything by themselves in the world.
Yeah.
Do you find that they maintain these connections without your help, or are you facilitating that after they go home from the retreat?
So I do a pre-retreat call and then I do a post-retreat call. And so I only facilitate that. Some people choose to then continue work with me in another capacity after that. And so, if they choose that, then I will help kind of maintain those relationships. But no, a lot of people like they stay connected, they start their own little things. I even had two gals from a retreat, I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, went and hosted their own retreat together because they connected so well. But a lot of them stay in touch. They'll add each other on all the social medias, they'll, share each other's podcasts, some of them have met up for girls' weekend. One of them actually went on a vacation. I can't remember if it was Texas or Mexico, but she ended up going on a vacation with two of the other gals. So it's so nice to see how close they have become. And I just see this from afar. Like they're not messaging me and be like, "Oh my God, Sasha, I just had the greatest trip." I see it from, seeing them on social media or, something along those
Yeah.
lines. But
Yeah.
a
They're
lot of
still
them,
in your world. You're still paying attention to them, even if they're not working with you.
yes.
You've bonded to them too, right?
Yes. Oh,
And
yes. I'm
they
always
came to
watching.
your retreat probably not strangers, right?
Most of them know. They've been in my realm, I will say. They've either connected with me on social media or, at one point maybe had a discovery call with me, or they've been on my newsletter for a while, or been a client, or been a client of, or a friend of a client. And so there's some warm introduction. Sometimes the first time that I really talk to them is on that first retreat connection call prior to them, signing up. But for the most part, people have to have a connection to me or feel attracted to what I am offering in order to be able to, to want to come, because I have pretty, it's not surface level retreats. Not saying that, that everybody's are, but a few retreats that I have been on, I thought would go deeper than they did. And so my retreat is definitely you want to have the right people and the right connection, because I don't ever want anybody to feel like they're the black sheep, because I know what that feels like.
Absolutely. I myself just got back from an international retreat, and one of the things that we talked about just before we were all coming home was, how big of a group would you ever want to be in, right? And that we talked about the concept of like these groups of or retreats of 20-ish people. And most of my introverted women were like, oh yeah, it's totally easy to hide like a wallflower and be in that group of 20 and never meet anyone, never come home with any new connections. So there's that combination of the size of the group and then how you manage it, right? Like you're sending two people off to take a walk together, right? That's going to create encouragement to connect. Whereas if everything is done in a group of the 20, you can totally hide, right? And then you've got the brave people who will answer questions or share their feelings, and everyone else is going, when are we done? Not that they're not engaged, but they're not engaged, like they're not fully participating. They're there, they're aware, but they're still doing their laundry list of things to do when they get home.
And I can always sense those people, so I will typically like pull them away and see what's underneath of there, or I like to call on those people. Because I don't just go to the person that's like always raising their hand and always raising their hand and always raising their hand, because otherwise, great, we heard your story. And not that it's because I'm that person, like I'm that personality that I will talk all the time. And I know how overwhelming that can be for people who want to say something, but not given the opportunity to say something because the other personalities are just louder.
Yeah,
And
they
so,
can't figure out how to get a word in edgewise. So they never get any words.
And so, me being that type of person, I know how I make others feel. So then when I see that happening, that dynamic happening, I say, okay, let's actually go over here and see what these people have to say. You know, and I'm very kind about it, and you know, but I'm also very direct. Like, you've answered the last two. Let's hear what these guys have to say over here, you know, and kind of switch gears and try to make sure that everybody is seen and heard and felt and understood. And if I ever see somebody kind of sulking away or kind of closed off-ish, a lot of times I'll pull them away for a one-on-one and just sit down for a half an hour and be like, tell me what's going on. Like, what's going through your mind? Like, it seems like you're not here, like you're here physically, but you're not here. And so that a lot of times can really bring that guard down too, because, you know, there's a lot going on. And if you don't address those things, people won't get the full experience. They'll go through the 3 or 4 or 5 days being there physically, but not being there mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And that's really where they get the transformation, the connections, the that's where everything
Right.
shifts.
Right. So retreats are not about the content.
No, I mean, we have content. Like, I have this whole, you know, map out your million-dollar year, you know, map out, you know, what's stopping you here. We have, you know, different workshop themes, but that is like a 90-minute portion of our day.
Right.
So it's there, but then it's all the stuff that comes up before and after that that we really work through. So yes, you get the strategy, you get the technique, but that's why they think they're there, but that's not really why they're there. Because once we get to the post-retreat call, everybody talks about the horse experience and the walk and talks and how much they've connected. You know, oh, I've been messaging this person every day since the retreat, or this shifted for me, or that shifted for me. And so it's all of that that is, that's what they actually came for. They just don't know it yet.
Exactly. But that means that when someone's trying to figure out, should I take this retreat or should I take this online class? They have to understand how significant the retreat experience is for your overall well-being. You get the community, you get the nurturing, you get the shift of your energy and your thoughts and, you know, wh where you're headed in life, and you get the content,
Yes,
right?
yes. It's the best of both
Awesome.
worlds. Yes.
Okay. Sasha, thanks so much for this great conversation. Can you let the listeners know how to find you?
Yes, absolutely. So my most active places would probably be Instagram and LinkedIn. You can find me at Sasha.Davis, Sasha dot Davis, or Sales Mama School. I have both on Instagram and you can find me on LinkedIn there. I also have my podcast, the Sales Mama Podcast. So I'd love to, you know, if you want to hear me talk even more, you can come on over there. And then all of the links are over on my website, salesmama.biz.
And I've really enjoyed a lot of your podcast episodes, so thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
If you liked what you just heard and want more, you can check out my book, Wellness in Motion: Sustainable Travel and Embodied Practices for the Midlife Earth Conscious Woman. Or you can check out one of my two websites using the links in the show notes. I have two great ways for you to start working with me. I would love for you to take my Wellness Plus Travel profile quiz and discover which Greek goddess travels like you do. You will get tips for planning your next trip sent directly to your email. I would love to meet you with a free new client wellness consultation where we can discuss what working with me might look like for you. The show notes have the links for both the quiz and my calendar to make an appointment. If the Sustain Your Vitality podcast is helping you understand what you need to feel fabulous in every way with the least amount of effort, please share the show with someone who also needs it. Sharing is easy. Just use the sharing link in the show notes. The Sustain Your Vitality podcast is a gift from Zen and Vitality with Zoa LLC and Intentional Vitality Retreats, based in the state of Maryland, USA. All the podcast things, planning, recording, editing, and producing have all been done by me, Zoa Connor, PhD. Even though you can call me doctor, I'm not a medical professional, and your safety is your responsibility. By listening to this podcast and understanding any movement, nutrition, lifestyle, or health protocols discussed, You understand and agree to take full responsibility for your actions. Zen and Vitality with Zoa are not responsible for any injuries or issues that may occur. This podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only and is not a substitute for personalized medical, wellness, nutrition, lifestyle, or movement and fitness advice. Always practice any fitness or movement-related activities in a safe environment. I make no claims about the effectiveness of the techniques or protocols discussed or any specific results you may achieve. I recommend you consult with your healthcare professional before changing your diet, exercise routine, or healthcare plan. Zen and Vitality with Zoa and the guests of this podcast are not liable for any injuries or health problems that may arise from following the information presented.